I'm Brian Zumhagen in for Carrie Nolan. It's Monday, March 14th, and it's time for WQXR's Washington Report Online. Joining us today, as he does every Monday, is David Sanger, Chief Washington Correspondent for The New York Times. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Brian.
So today we're going to focus on how Japan is coping following Friday's earthquake and tsunami. David, you lived in Japan for years as a reporter and bureau chief for The New York Times, and you know this part of the country very well. What's going through your mind as you watch the aftermath?
Boy, it's just so heartbreaking, Brian, when you look at this wonderful and, you know, incredibly vibrant and historic city of Sendai and that whole coastal region, and you realize that there is this dividing line between those people who live within 3 miles of the ocean and who were completely wiped out, and those people who live just beyond, and they seem to be living a relatively normal life, if you could consider life normal after a 9.0 earthquake. And the heartbreak of just seeing everybody try to figure out where their lives went is just overwhelming.
What do you think it's going to take to get Japan back on track after a disaster like this?
You know, the remarkable thing about the Japanese people is their resilience. You know, you talk to older Japanese who lived in Tokyo before the fire bombings of World War II, or who lived in Hiroshima or Nagasaki. And you realize that when you go through these cities, you know, when I lived there in the 80s and early 90s, you would never have known that they had gone through such destruction. And I think you've got to think the same thing about Sendai, but it's certainly going to take years. And something has changed in Japan, which is that in these more remote regions of the northeast part of the country, the population is very old, that the younger people have by and large gone to the cities where the jobs are. And so it's going to take more than just rebuilding. It's going to take remaking communities, or it will be something of a hollowed out territory.
Now, we've been hearing about the explosions at the Fukushima nuclear plant. Talk us through what's happening there and why it's so difficult to get that under control.
Well, what happened at Fukushima and one other plant that's also in trouble, but the biggest issues have been in Fukushima, was that the plants survived the earthquake and then were completely overwhelmed by the tsunami. So the building stayed up during the earthquake itself, but they went and switched over to emergency power, which keeps water pumping around the nuclear fuel, the core of the reactors. And that power was supplied by some diesel engines. And as soon as the tsunami hit, it swamped the diesel engines because the tsunami came right over the seawalls. And they've never been able to get water circulating since. So over time, the water level around the core began to fall, and they didn't know what to do in order to keep the core from melting and beginning to spew out into the atmosphere, first in the building and then in releases into the atmosphere, radioactive cesium and iodine. And so now they're trying to flood it with seawater, but every time they do that, it builds up a huge amount of steam. You've got to let that steam off, and the steam, of course, is radioactive.
Now, you've reported that the reactor operators have little choice, really, but to periodically release this radioactive steam as part of the cooling process. Are there any other options?
Well, the only other significant option would be to bring in some kind of power supply, some kind of diesel turbines, and try to see if they can get the old water circulation restored into the core. But it's possible at this point, after the explosions that have racked first reactor number one and last night reactor number three, that you simply could not resume that old piping system. Too much of it may have been blown apart. So at this point, the seawater, which ultimately will condemn these plants to being closed down, may be the best option right now.
How do we know if the Japanese government is being upfront about the scope of this disaster at the plant?
Well, there's good reason to question that, Brian, because my experience over 20 years or more with Tokyo Electric Power, which operates these plants, and some of the Japanese authorities, is that they tend to be very reluctant to issue in real time news of how bad accidents are. And the accidents I covered were obviously much less severe than this one. And partly that's the fine line between not wanting to panic a population that's already panicked and wanting to be somewhat transparent about what's going on. But there's also an understandable allergy in the Japanese body politic about anything that involves radioactive releases. This is, of course, part of the political and psychological legacy of the bombs in 1945. And so the government tends to lean toward covering up what's going on. And I found in conversations with American officials over this past weekend that even they were having a hard time getting a straight story.
What should we look for in the next few days on both the nuclear problem being brought under control and for progress in the country in general?
Well, on the nuclear side, what the best that we could hope for at this point would be regular releases of some of the steam, which would indicate that you could continue to flood the core and avoid a meltdown, and hope and pray that the wind just keeps blowing as it has been out to sea, which would mean that the radioactive cloud is not headed to any population center and would disperse over time. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission here said last night in a statement that the White House released that by the time this made it to Hawaii or the United States, they believe there would be no significant effect from this amount of radiation, and we have to hope that happens. On the overall recovery, the first problem, I think, is going to be solving the public health problem that comes from just having so much of these cities wiped out and recovering bodies from underneath them. So the Japanese are very good, once the trains start running and all that, at transporting people, getting them out to good care. And I think you're probably going to see the best in the Japanese people come out in the next week.
Thanks so much, David.
Thank you, Brian.
New York Times Chief Washington Correspondent David Sanger. I'm Brian Zumhagen, and that's the Washington Report on Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR.